Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another opportunity to be in the house of God. Lord, we're thankful for the written word that we're able to have, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thankful that men found it important, Heavenly Father, to translate the word into English. Dear Lord, I believe that this King James Version, Heavenly Father, this is a version that I believe men have done their very best to bring it to the exact details of the original writing, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, that you bless it, dear Lord, and we thank you for that, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we're thankful for salvation, and salvation brings us to a point to where we want the truth, dear Lord. We don't want it watered down. We don't want it lightly. We don't want it cut corners anywhere. We want the truth. We want it as straight as we're able to receive it, dear Heavenly Father. We know that your Spirit will deliver it to us straight and bring it to us in a perfect way, dear Lord, and that's the way we desire, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, and as we spoke of some this morning, not necessarily do we want it that way, because not only do we want to make heaven, but dear Lord, you put your Spirit within us, dear Lord. And your Spirit requires and desires and longs for truth, dear Heavenly Father. And that's the way our spirit is, dear Lord. We're so thankful for that. So we ask you to be with us as we look into the Word of God. The Lord, help us, dear Heavenly Father, to be encouraged, to be uplifted. We're in a battle. We're in a battle for our eternal soul, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we want to hear, well done. We want to make heaven in the end. And dear Heavenly Father, enjoy that wonderful peace, that wonderful rest, to get that new body for us, dear Heavenly Father. And we just can't even comprehend or even begin to conceive of just what that body will be like, dear Lord, to where there won't be any infections of the things of this world, or it won't be tired, it won't be weary, none of those things, Lord. We can't even comprehend those things, but Lord, that's what we long for, dear Heavenly Father, one day. So we ask you to be with us, dear Lord. Help us keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Help us to stay faithful. And Lord, we ask you to be with us as we look into the Word tonight. We ask you to anoint the word, anoint me that I'll bring it just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, and of course we do know and recognize this to be the faith chapter, picking up in verse 1, we're just going to read the first 6 verses. And if you don't read the whole chapter dealing with faith, and I believe it's good from time to time just to scan through it, to look through it, and probably only takes you just a few minutes to read it. But it's a lot of good encouragement in there. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. For by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, but that his was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As I mentioned, we know, and I believe it even says, doesn't say it's the faith chapter in my Bible, but it does say the roll call of the heroes of the faith. And we always mention kind of the faith chapter. It's dealing with a lot of people that had stood faithful, stood true, had the victory, that God had sent them through some things to be faithful, to tell their test of faith. And it tells of many things, many faithful ones, because of what they did or how they stood for. There's a lot of references in here of different ones that just stayed faithful. They stood for righteous. They had to be faithful in hard times that God put them through there. But it's there in verse 5. It says there, it makes a comment in verse 5 that we quote many times, or we talk about many times. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I've looked up Enoch a little bit here and there, and you probably studied him, and there is nothing in the Bible, hardly. There's one or two verses about Enoch. There's nothing, and as I just said a little bit, we can talk about Abraham, we can talk about Rahab, we can talk about Isaac and Jacob, it talks about, and Joseph and Noah, it talks about all the things, and it talks about what they had done, some of the things that they'd done that faith was credited to them. But we see here in verse 5, it says that Enoch, there's nothing. It wasn't like he won a battle. It wasn't like he prayed and had some miracle happen or he did anything that we know of that is written down, but it had a testimony that he pleased God. And in the follow-up of verse 6 there, he says, "For without God, without faith, it is impossible to please God." So I want to look at faith some tonight and talk about faith. And as we said, some of them, they were faithful because of what they did. Some of them were faithful for what they stood for. But some of them were just faithful. And in verse 2, I'm jumping ahead a little bit sometimes myself here. Verse 2, I always look at that and I always try to encourage myself with that. Because sometimes as saints, and we mentioned a little bit tonight, sometimes, or this morning, sometimes with saints, it's just living every day. Today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year, next year, 10 years, 5 years. It's just living day after day. And the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. But in verse 2 there, from time to time, we need to encourage ourselves. For it says, by it the elders obtain a good report. You've been saved for a while? That's when you kind of look at elders. You know, somebody usually not children, somebody not been saved a year or so. But somebody's been faithful for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. Somebody's been faithful. For by it the elders obtained a good report through faith, just being faithful. As I've said over the years, and even in the earlier years when Brother Davis left and things, and different people would call and from different states or whatever, and they would ask about certain ones, and that always encouraged me. They'd ask about Sister Hawk or Sister Bush or Brother Bush, different ones. They'd ask about certain people. How's this one doing? How are they doing? They maybe haven't seen them. And I thank God I can still say they were faithful. They're still faithful in their place. And I've even said that today. I don't know if any of you, I guess maybe Brother Herschel and Sister Ann, I know that Brother Rick, he's the pastor up there now. I guess you know that.
His son is the pastor.
His son's a pastor. Oh, I was told that he was the pastor. But he's still faithful. He'd been here before. He played the guitar and sang songs, and he and I are about the same age. I think he's a little bit older than I, a few years and all. But we had a good fellowship together. And from time to time, when I run into people, I say, "Hell, he's still faithful." And by the grace of God, I want to hear that hear that I'm still faithful. For by it the elders obtained a good report. A report of what? They're faithful. Just being faithful. Doesn't necessarily mean they accomplished anything or did anything special or God put them under any certain conditions, but they're just faithful. Because of the faith, not because of the gifts of healing sometimes. Sometimes we think of faithfulness as because of what they've done, of what they've accomplished in all this. By this, by the faith, the elders obtain a good report. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which we see were not made of things which do appear. I thank God that's not difficult for me. We still have a country, they want to believe in evolution. The Big Bang Theory. That two rocks or whatever crash and everything, and everything was, and all that, a Big Bang, and everything just got set in order. They want us to believe that. Believe that an animal or whatever climbed out of the water and it became a fish or became a walking and then eventually evolved into one of us. I always told my children as they were growing up, I said, if they ever teach you that, then you ask your teacher, if it took how many ever millions of years, they said, for a monkey or a fish or whatever to become a human, walking human being like we are, how come we don't see that today? How come we don't still see that evolving today? We don't still see a monkey or however they explain it, a fish come out of the water and grow up and be a human being and talking and walking like we do? How come all the education of our scientists and educated people cannot take an animal of any degree and turn them into a human being? Because it never happened. God didn't make it that way. By faith, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which we see are not made of things. God spoke it into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God formed the worlds, formed the oceans, formed the trees, formed the night and the darkness, divided the two. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. So some of these verses and some of the verses down through here talk about what they've done, and God credited them for faith, and we talked about Enoch already. And in verse 6 here he said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Ask God to help us to be encouraged. Because I have to encourage myself. I believe you have to encourage yourself. There again, sometimes I jump ahead sometimes. But being faithful. Just being faithful. Trusting in God. That doesn't mean we are successful in something that we see or accomplish or whatever in the things of God. Or God may use us sometimes. God may never really use us in a great way or whatever. But without faith, but God can know our faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Looking at faith tonight, faith in God. To believe, one thing, when we think, and there again, it's just sometimes messages, and this morning was a little bit different than tonight. Sometimes when I bring messages, I think some of them, Lord, help us just to get back to the basics. I have a grandson getting ready to start first grade. The very beginnings of teaching. I know in kindergarten they teach him some things. But the very beginning, the elementary, it's what they called it, elementary school. The elementary learning of things. You know, when we got saved, we had to start in the elementary school, so to speak. I remember Brother Davis said this. This is one thing that really encouraged me. I wasn't saved but a few years, but I was discouraged. I felt like I wasn't. You just feel like you should be here and here and here. You know, it's just so slow sometimes. And Brother Davis made the comment. He goes, when you went to school, he goes, you went to first grade. And if you came home from first grade and your father or mother asked you, what'd you learn today? More than likely, you're going to say nothing. Not that you really didn't learn anything, but you don't remember it. But if they ask you that every single day, and you may say that, but in 3 years, you've learned some things. In 6 years, you've learned some things. After 12 years of going to school, you get a diploma that you've learned how to read and to write and math and some history and some science and things like that. You've learned some things, but it didn't take you 6 months or a year to do that. It took you years. And that encouraged me. I said, just to hold faithful. And that's why I mentioned a few weeks or a month or so ago, I said, I always thought, I wish I had somebody that could help me with it, to make books, to make a pamphlet of when people are saved. From the day you're saved, kind of what we should see growth in 6 weeks or 2 months. In 6 months, where you should be in a growth of those times, and a year where you should be in those things, to see sort of a guideline. We don't have those things, but the Spirit of God. But we have to learn. But when we think about the elementary, looking at the things of God through faith, the very first thing I'm going to look at, to believe that there's a God. Amen. And not only to believe that there's a God, but to believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a boss, an owner. He's a Jew. Of course, Jews don't believe in Christ. He was nothing. He was a good man. But he can't make heaven without believing in Jesus Christ. And it takes the faith of God to help you and I. And you and I don't believe in God or believe in Jesus Christ just because we had gained something of our own. It was by God showing us and teaching us that, and us to accept God's word on that. To believe that God is, to believe, and this is the main thought for this evening here, to believe that God cares for you and I and looks after us. Faith to believe that. Because the devil, many a times, tries to tell us, God doesn't care. We pray sometimes. I've gone to God and pray and pray sometimes. And then the devil will tell you, God's not listening. God's way off. Even though I know that's a lie, but sometimes that works on our faith. To believe and know that God cares about every single detail of our life. The Bible says, he says, I know the very hairs of your head. Not because necessarily I think because he's God and he has it, because he cares. And I can go a little even step further. I believe God could say, and I know he knows, the very hairs on our body. Well, I couldn't even count the hairs from my elbow to my hand probably. But God knows. God cares. He cares for each and every one of us. Jesus, one time when he walked on this earth, and this is sometimes where our faith can get hindered sometimes. Jesus says, told the disciples, he says, if you have faith to say unto this mountain, remove and be cast into the sea. I pondered that verse several times. The Lord help my faith. Faith to heal the sick. Have faith to see someone saved. Again, we talked a little bit about that this morning. What does it take? Why did I accept this salvation? And somebody else that was sitting next to me in a pew didn't. Why did God deal with my heart and then I accepted it and someone else didn't accept it and they went their own way? Why? We don't know. Why do some people we desire to see get saved and it seems like they never get affected? Faith to see miracles. Just walking by faith. Thinking of the faith in God, that he, to believe that he cares for you. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By having faith. To be encouraged, to trust, and to believe that God cares for each and every one of us. The thought is I had in this message, as I said, I was going back through some messages and I crossed this one. And sort of blessed my heart, and I'd, like I said, forgotten about it a little bit, the very details of it. I didn't really forget about it too much, but the details of it. But it's coming up on 3 years since my the man that owns the shop, it's a new company now. And as I read this little testimony here, I got a lot of things written down here, but I've reminisced about it some. And I remember several months out before he even purchased it, it was probably this time of the year, back in 2019, I guess, when they were dealing with purchasing the company. And I never imagined that Gary would ever sell the shop of Jim Jane. I didn't think he'd ever sell the business and things. But it went on, and they made dealings, and they made a deal with it. But one of the things that I knew of the gentleman that owned Glen Burnie Transmissions is back many years ago, Glen Burnie Transmissions at one time had 17 rebuilders, what is what I do now. All of them are gone. And that's just unbelievable somewhat. They limit them down. They got down to a few in there. And they've been gone for over 20 years. The man's name that owns it now is Mark, and he has never, since he bought the company 20-some years ago, he has never had a rebuilder, ever. And he didn't want them, he didn't have any desires with them and things, and the very first time I met him, I never met him before, the first time he come up here and introduced himself to me and things, we talked a little bit about it. But prior to that, one of the things that was noted to me, he's not keeping any builders here. He came up there, he walked through the business, I work upstairs. The entire upstairs is just full of transmissions, full of parts, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of parts. And when he went up there, met with them, not when I was there, but off times, off work times, and he told them up there, he goes, everything up here, he goes, you can get rid of everything, throw it all away. He goes, I don't want anything to do with it. He goes, you can, and he was going to have the trucks come in and just have everybody haul everything out and throw the transmissions away, the parts away. He had nothing to do with it. And I knew some of these things and all, and I can remember, as I said, I read through my notes and I was remembering some of the things, and I can remember the worry that I had on my heart. I'm thinking, Lord, I've been doing this for 30 years or better. What am I? And I'm at a certain age. I remember when my dad was probably, I don't know, maybe 50, mid-50s, and he worked for a company, and the company folded, and they let him go. And I remember the stress that was on him sitting at home, not knowing what to do and where to go and things. And at a late age in life, he didn't know what he was going to do. Of course, things worked out with his brother was an electrician. And he went to another job, but it was really hard on him. But anyway, I remember thinking to myself, what am I going to do? I'm going to do something else. And I didn't know if I wanted to try to even stay in that type of business. And we actually had the fire extinguisher guys come out here, and I talked to him, And I asked them about sort of entertaining other avenues, maybe a lighter, easier on my body type avenue to do work. And I talked to this person, that person, and I remember really worrying about it, but I also remember that God talked to my heart, and he says, when I talked to the man for these fire extinguishers, he was here today, and I talked to him, and he left, and God told me, he says, you stop doing that. He goes, stop looking for jobs, stop looking for that, stop worrying yourself trying to figure out where you're going to go, and just rest in me. And I remember that very, very clearly. And I've been praying, been asking the saints to pray and things, and I remember that, and the Spirit of God just helped me to just have faith in God. And when the owner came up and talked to me, and the very first thing, he walked up to me, shook my hand, introduced himself to me, he says, I'm not opposed to having builders. But he told me later on, he says, I had no intentions of keeping you. He had no intentions of keeping me. But then he also told me later on how much of a value I am to him now. And I tell some people, I even sat there and added hours up. I worked 35 hours a week, and I added hours up how far I can go down. I think it went all the way down to maybe like 30 or 29 hours where I felt that would still be able to provide things for myself. And if he would, he'd like me to work 60 hours if I could, but he knows I'm not going to do that. But I thank God worked that out. And God took care of that. And I've told several people, I said, I have more responsibility on me now than I ever had. And I said, Lord, I didn't ask for that either. And I've asked God, I've even to this day, still I said, Lord, I didn't really want all this responsibility, but I'm just trusting in you to direct and lead. But God has to believe in God, the faith, just to trust in what God, to rest in the things of God. He knows what's best for our lives.
Yes, he does.
And the enemy will do his best to get us to worry. And I'll read a verse later on, but I'll read it later on here, that David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if we're saved and we're sanctified and we're living for God and we walk with God, God says, I'll help direct your paths. I'll help direct you. And whatever scenario you have in life, God says, just have faith in me. See, the devil always wants us to think something that we're out of order. We're going out of the different direction. God doesn't know. God doesn't understand something. But God understands all things.
Yes, we do.
Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to pick up from verse 6. Now, as I mentioned earlier, when we talk about faith in God, you know, sometimes, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. Sometimes God will put us in the test.
Yes, he does.
God will put us in the areas to see how we'll trust him. And as I said, when I remember talking to that man with the fire extinguishers, and after I got done talking to him, I felt the Spirit of the Lord just come on me and said, you just don't deal with that. Don't do that no more. You just stop. He wasn't kind of yelling at me, so to speak, but he just, I want you to relax and just be calm. Verse 6, for I am now ready, Paul speaking here, for I am now ready to be offended or offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Paul doesn't go through this. He talks about, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and the last part of verse 7, he says, I have kept the faith. Kept the faith. Paul, of probably almost anybody in the Bible, or not anybody, but in the New Testament part, he went through a great deal of things. He went through a great deal of trouble and trials and persecutions and beatings to death almost and shipwreck and all these things. But he kept his faith in God. And we have these writings because of that. And I say, Lord, help us. And from time to time, some of you know some of the saints that have gone on. And some, especially I hear some of the sisters every once in a while with other sisters. I hear how you can remember how they stayed faithful, how they went through certain trials through their lives. And maybe it was raising children or whatever it may have been. And how they were faithful through those things. And that's a blessing. But more than anything else, they were faithful. They just stayed faithful to God. They were in their place for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They were there. And Paul says, all these things, I've finished my course, I've fought the good fight, and I have kept the faith. You know, Paul was in jail many, many times. I mentioned he was shipwrecked, he was stoned. All these things, but the last credit he gave to himself, he says, I've kept the faith. God wants to see if we're going to be faithful. And God's going to allow us to go through some things. It may be personal things. But God's going to allow us to go through some things to see if we're going to be faithful. Put us in some decisions in life. We say God is good, but don't remember all that he's done sometimes, as I mentioned a little bit ago. As I said about this very message here. As I read through it and I reminisced and my mind remembered that. And I kind of forgot about that. I forgot about that with the guy with the fire extinguisher. I forgot about how God dealt with me a little bit. But God is so good, but we don't remember all the things that God does for us. How he may have put us in the wine press here or there or trials here or there. And we kept the faith and God bless us. But just being faithful. Because he cares. Because he loves each and every one of us. As I quoted to you earlier, David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, and he delighteth in his ways. See, we can't comprehend that. We can't comprehend that a God that created all we see, that has created the earths, the worlds, the galaxies, the everything, I can't almost comprehend that God cares for me. More than all that. God says one time in the Bible, he says, your life is more than many sparrows. And if one sparrow were to fall, he would recognize it. And he says, you're more valuable to that. I always like this verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, for by him were all things created that are in the heaven and in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He created everything. Everything. But he cares for you and I. Amen. He cares for you and I. And he wants our faith to be encouraged. I think it will be interesting. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. But I think it will be interesting to ask Enoch, what did you do that you pleased God so much? He was translated and he had a testimony that he pleased God. Sister Linda read to you the verse there when John was baptizing Jesus Christ. I think it's the last verse there in verse 17. And God came down. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I said, Lord, help us. Help us. There's many times I've prayed that way. I said, Lord, you know my desire. I want that credit to be given to me in a sense. Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Be faithful. Be true. Hold faithful. Don't doubt the things. Do you believe whatever God allows you to go through, it's for your benefit?
That's a hard
It's for your benefit. It's for his benefit. And that, as I wanted to mention and say his benefit. As I read to you back here in Colossians, I meant to stay there for a second. As I read back here in Colossians, the last verse, hey, God created all these things. All things were created by him and for him. That's Colossians 1:16. Do you believe that whatever God allows you and I to go through, not only is for our benefit, but it's for God's benefit? God uses it. All chapter 11 of Hebrews, we have it because certain people, or many people, all through the chapter, we're definitely not going to go through the chapter. Those people had faith in God and they held faithful to it, and God used their testimonies. Here we are, and that was back, I don't know, I think you can go back and look, when you get in the Hebrews, the latter part of Hebrews, it talked about Rahab. We know Rahab was there in the city that they went in to spy, and Jericho and all that. And we know that Rahab had a thought to where she just believed. She just believed that God's people were going to be over, you know, they were going to overthrow Jericho. So she just believed and had faith, and she kept the spies and all that. And I didn't go back and look, you know, but we've been here since Jesus Christ, 2,000 years. It's probably been 2,000 years or so since that, or better, maybe more than that, maybe 4,000 years. So maybe 6,000 years, somewhere in that general vicinity. Today, we're still teaching about Rahab. Rahab's been in heaven for probably over 5,000 years enjoying the things of heaven. But because of what she did, we're still enjoying her testimony. Moses, Abraham. All those different ones, they were faithful. When we're gone, you know, when I first got saved, Sister Ann said this a few weeks ago, she talked to someone, I forget who she said she talked to, but when I first got saved, even though I was only 17, it had been some number of years, but still there were many, many saints still around that knew my grandfather. That's how Brother Davis used to introduce me. And you remember Brother McCall? This is his grandson, you know. Sort of like sometimes you never get over the shadow of a big brother or a big sister. You never get your own identity until some time. But this is his grandson. And they remember, I think Sister Ann was telling somebody not too long ago, you remember Brother McCall, and they did. They said, that's who our pastor is right now. And I don't do it too much because pretty much everybody's gone. But when we're gone, it's going to be a number of years. They're going to remember each one of us. They're going to remember each one of us. They were faithful. They were in service. They were faithful to the things of God. They were true to the things of God. They're going to remember some of the things that were a blessing there. Do we believe, or do we allow and believe that God allows you and I to go through some things, mainly for His benefit, but for ours too? Paul and Silas were put in jail for preaching the word of God, casting out a demon out of a woman and preaching the word of God, and they were put in jail. Now we know the story, but no doubt every one of us, if we didn't have the rest of the story or some of the things that else Paul went through, we'd think, why did God allow him to do that? But if Paul and Silas were not put in jail, the jailkeeper and his family may not have got saved. I shouldn't say would not have got saved, because that's how God directed things. We don't know of what God will allow us to go through. And I say this, and I believe this with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I believe that God will allow His saints to go through some things, because I believe the Word of God says that the saints shall judge the world. And I believe there is going to be some people standing at the judgment bar of God, and they're going to give an excuse of why they couldn't live for the Lord, but they're also, God's going to allow them to be next to you or I and be an example. Well, this brother, this sister, they went through the exact same thing you went through, and they stayed faithful through the whole time. God's going to use us. Paul and Silas were put in jail, and God used them, kept them faithful to save the jailer and his family. Paul said, I've kept the faith. For by it, faith, the elders obtain a good report. I want people to know that we're faithful. I'm faithful. I want people, when they hear of Brother Doug, that I'm just faithful. I don't need them to hear anything else that you know, he has, you know, not that I say I have any type of gift or whatever. You know, people say, well, that person has the gift of healing, that person has the gift of miracles, that has the birth. And if God gives that gift, wonderful, thank God. But I believe those people that God would give that gift to, one of the things, I want to be faithful. I want to be known as being faithful to the end, and being able to be pleasing to God. Do we believe no matter what we face, God cares for us? Do we believe that He orders our steps, and God is in our faith towards God, He can use in whatever way we are? Our prayers, whether our prayers are answered in our way or not, we need to have faith in God. I've prayed sometimes. I said, Lord, And there, you know, about one thing about being faithful to God, you have to be honest. You know, sometimes I've caught myself trying to be a lawyer towards God, to talk to Him a certain way. But sometimes when I'm in really a need of things, I'm the Lord. I don't even know how to pray. I don't know how to present this to you, but Lord, you do. I just need to present it to you. So in a sense of whether our prayers, and sometimes, as I just mentioned, sometimes we have to come to this point, Lord, I'm going to leave this with you. I'm going to leave this situation, this problem. But Lord, this is how I'd like to see it answered. This is how I'd like to see it worked out. But God, help me to accept whatever way you allow it to work out. And the Lord, help us to understand that. We need to understand that from time to time. If God works it out in a way that we may not desire or see, to accept that, and the trust that God says for God's benefit. Are you faithful? Are you keeping the faith? Do you have a desire to be faithful? And there again, it's not necessarily towards you and I, but towards God. For by it, the one verse we read there in verse 6 there, he says, it is impossible to please God without faith. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's open our songbook and turn to page 179. 179.
That song, when you really read the words, Jesus gave up everything for us. And he says, what have you given from me? That first verse says, I give up my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, that thou, what hast thou given to me? So Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in them times.